Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your gracious host, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Who's been warm down here in L.A.?
It's
a lot
been hot,
going
man.
On.
Yeah, I apologize for all of y'all in cold weather towns. Tough. It's been freaking hot here. I'm sorry I'm complaining and bitching. I know I sound like a, you know, I'm spoiled a brat, but I mean, come on. I mean, it's L.A. You got everybody knows we have the best weather in the world. It is what it is, but it's been hot.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a hot weather person.
Hot,
you know, and it's been hot in the on the presses in this sports going on, man. I mean, the NFL season, you know, free agency is picking up. We're gonna get into that.
Yes, sir.
You know, tournament is right around the corner, man.
Yes, election starts tomorrow.
Yeah, they got some big game, championship games coming up tomorrow. And L.A., man.
L.A. is steaming hot right now. And I ain't talking about the weather right now.
Oh, yeah. So if y'all want to chime in, hit us up. Let us know your thoughts. Get your feedback. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, any topics y'all want to throw out there. And if y'all want to get your fantasy lineup squared away for football already, hey, I'll help you out. There ain't no problem there.
All right. So, first off, we starting with the NBA, so you know where we're going right now. Phil Jackson, you know, is – they ain't had the press conference. I still need to see all of that. But basically, is going to be the president of the New York Knicks.
Wow.
5 years, $60 million.
Wow.
$12 million.
He's trumped every executive, every coach.
I mean, that's
player status, that's, baby.
That's Pat Riley, like R.C. Buford level.
Yeah, you could argue that. Well, Phil hasn't necessarily proved it yet, but I mean, come on, dude. 11-time champion as a coach.
Yes, he is.
He won two as a player with the Knicks, who ain't won a ring in how long. So, I mean, he's got some clout. And, I mean, unfortunately for the Lakers, it was like, well,
it's
very much going to sting.
It's
going to sting. But, yeah. I mean, Phil had to do what Phil had to do. He wanted to come back. We talked about it on the last show. I personally didn't think it would be a great fit as a coach. As an executive, different story. He really doesn't have to, I guess, travel as much per se.
Which is
nice.
It's going to be questioned. It's nice for him, but might be a thorn.
He's making bank.
Oh, yeah. No, this he is making
man,
bank.
Man, he's making bank. And, I mean, it's New York City, man. I mean, next to L.A., that's the next biggest market, and it's Phil freaking Jackson, dude. Phil.
Yeah, they went all in.
Dolan finally did something good and right.
Well, he made something.
He made a smart move.
Yeah, he made a move that
business wise, brilliant decision.
Yes.
I can't necessarily say basketball wise yet, just because I haven't seen Phil do anything yet at the executive level.
Oh yeah.
So, PR wise though, business wise, brilliant move. I give all the credit to James Dolan for that one. Finally, he did something right.
Yeah, he put in some. You know, it's a bigger name splash than Donnie Walsh. Donnie Walsh did his thing. And that's going to be a concern. We are going to talk about this impact with the Lakers, but we're going to start with the Knicks as deserved. Yeah, that paycheck, I came front.
The Lakers weren't matching that.
Hell no.
I'm not paying no GM that much money. I'm sorry. I don't care what.
He's an unproven GM.
Thank you. on that Jason Kidd status. You're a novice at this. I'm not new. I don't care if you were tied to Genie Bus and was in, you know, I'm sure he gained a little bit of knowledge, you know, being around his wife and the Lakers organization and management. I'm sure he gained some knowledge. I'm not saying he doesn't have any, but to just jump to being a GM, nah, buddy.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
You know, there's something leaked out that saying that his hope was, you know, he liked doing a consulting thing, but, you know, like, you're going to say, hey, we'll pay you to be president and, like, you know, pay you basically, like, on that the top president's decision makers make. It's
Who
hard
was
to say
he to
no.
turn that down?
We always had a feeling that he would go back to the Knicks at some point. It just felt that way. You know, he did Chicago, did L.A., mm-hmm. ties to New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seemed like eventually what happened didn't happen as coach, but this is a great move. He's good at getting the best out of his players. That is a great skill he has. Picking his staff is going to be interesting. I want to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, it's interesting to see because the Laker organization got rid of a lot of the people that were affiliated with mm-hmm. him. So it's interesting to see if maybe he brings them back mm-hmm. In some kind of capacity to that team. I don't know, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, he said Steve Mills will be around for the duration of the year, and then we'll see what happens
that,
there.
That means he's gone after the season. Or he'll be demoted to some other position.
Yeah, Phil's going to pick his
he's going to handpick his right-hand
guy. You
know,
we want to see how much pull he's going to have.
A lot.
We've already heard of him hiring Steve Kerr as the coach next season.
I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of want a proven guy, but you don't know what's going to happen. And honestly, him paying that much money, what can he really do that quick? I mean,
they don't
get cap room till next season.
Yep.
They don't have a high pick. They don't have
a pick at all.
No first round pick.
Nope.
There's not much he can do. And it's not like the team that he had last year changed. And then I see Majesty was like, they trying to show that they can win. I was like, that's what they did when they got Carmelo to the Knicks. It was like, hey, we trying to win. And they were second round team last year.
They were good. And then
basically got rid of all the veterans on the team. And clearly that was the wrong decision to make. I'm curious to see how much power Dolan is letting him have. We all know Dolan's going to have the final say.
Of course.
But are you going to let Phil Jackson basically pick all the groceries and just run it by you? Like, hey, this is what I got.
Approve it.
Look it over. Approve it or not. You know, or is he going to try to handhold? Because, I mean, Donnie Walsh, he let fix it. Donnie Walsh did it. But right when the Carmelo trade, he got involved. He let Isaiah Thomas basically have full autonomy, do what he wanted. And I didn't really work
that
out that
screwed
great.
Them up cap-wise.
Right. I'm curious to see what he's going to do, though. I mean, it's a big splash move. Carmelo's kind of like, all right, that don't really mean
nothing. That don't mean squat, man. I mean, come on. I can read between the lines. We understand you're doing that in a ploy a little bit, try to keep Carmelo around. Is it going to work? It's enticing. It's enticing.
I think Melo genuinely wants to stay. I think if this was like 10, 20 years ago, where it was all about kind of feeling like you don't want to leave, like, yes, he would sign with the Knicks. But, you know, in this age of win now and you've been with the team 3 years, they suck, they ain't winning, do you want to stay there? It might take them 3 or 4 years to get back to.
It's going to take at least two.
Right. You know, do you technically want to wait? I mean, there's no guarantees or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this makes him decision if he wants to stay easier, because I think he does. I mean, who
doesn't want
to
be in New York?
He wanted to play for the Knicks.
Yeah,
he got his wish. Mm-hmm. Who the hell want to leave that much money on the table? I mean, Dwight Howard did.
I can't blame him.
He had actually like a built-in great situation, in a sense. I mean,
yeah. I mean, but in the same sense, he left a dysfunctional situation, right, kind of similar to what's going on in New York. So,
but I mean, there's no team for Melo that's like, hey, there's a bona fide all-star next to you, and like
there's one, and I'd hate to say it, but it's Chicago.
Yeah,
And that's the, to me, I mean, it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Basketball wise, it just makes sense. Mm-hmm. But come on. I mean, like you said, is he going to leave that much money on the table? I don't know. I don't know.
He didn't do
it. If it's about winning, then he will. Dwight Howard, it was about winning. Dwight Howard wanted to win. I will give that to Dwight. Dwight wants to win.
Yeah, and that situation was toxic. I mean, him being there was toxic. Them Knicks fans, you know, I read back and forth, but they like him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying they don't like him.
Laker fans, I'm just saying, did not like Dwight Howard.
The similarity is just leaving a losing situation.
Yeah.
So if it's about winning, if Phil doesn't, I mean, what direction can they really go? So unless Phil just starts trading cats and getting pieces, you know,
the only thing he can really do is
flip guys.
Right. You can add some veteran pieces that you didn't have and then hopefully flip those into, you know, hey, you got Amare, $23 million expiring contract. Who wants that cap space? I mean, you know, final years. Teams will do that.
Yep. Yeah, they will.
You get a young team like Orlando, maybe. Mm-hmm. I need some cap room, you know, because I'm trying to make a big splash. And you know, I ain't mad at the move. I think it was.
No, not at all.
A nice noisemaker.
We'll see with Phil. I'm not going to jump to conclusions like, oh, he's just going to turn this thing around, because he may not. He may be another Isaiah Thomas. We don't know. So, remains to be seen. Let's hold our horses before we make any judgment calls on this one.
Oh, yeah. And now on to the team he left. Well, boldly. What? Yes, excuse me for getting that wrong last episode. He is the fiance.
Last time I checked, he wasn't like attached to the Los Angeles Lakers. He's married to somebody who works for the Lakers organization.
Right.
But Phil Jackson himself is not just attached at the hip to the Lakers organization. He was with the Bulls for a long time. He was with the Lakers for a long time. So he's been. It ain't like he's been with the Lakers his entire career.
Yeah, he's like, whose team would he have more love for? I'm like, it's hard when, even though he left on bad terms,
he still got love in the city of Chicago.
You know, Chicago got 6 championships. How many of them championships did he win? All 6.
How many he got with the Lakers?
5.
Thank you. We have one extra.
Right.
Thank you.
No, how many championships do the Lakers have? 17. Or 13, whatever. More than 10.
So
more than 10.
He's accounting for a percentage. He accounts for all of Chicago's championships. We love Phil.
Right.
I got nothing but love for Phil.
Phil made his name.
You know what I'm saying? But for the Lakers, I mean, people, fine. You want to be mad at Phil Jackson? Fine. Go ahead and be pissy and moany. You want to be mad at Jim Buss? Fine. Go ahead and be mad at Jim Buss. But for me, I can't be too mad at Jim Buss because, like I said before, I ain't matching that. You ain't getting that contract from me. So, deuces. I'm sorry. You are engaged to my sister. My sister knows my sister is not paying you that damn contract. I don't care how much good loving you're giving her. She is not giving you that much
you
money.
You ain't getting that hookup.
No, sir. No. No,
but
sir.
I mean, now with, you know, you got Magic come out. Who 2 months ago, I got the 2 months ago, Laker Nation, I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to support and encourage Jim Buss and Coach D'Antoni because I love the Lakers.
That lasted 2 months.
2 months. Then, 2 months later, I love Jim and Jenny Buss, but we need Phil Jackson to be the face of our great organization, the Los Angeles Lakers. That ain't happening.
Nope. That's done now.
Kobe Bryant is the face of the Lakers team. Who was the face of the Lakers organization? Some bickering siblings. That's it.
They've made a good point. I heard a good point made on Mason in Ireland, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell Jim Buss looks like. No, seriously. Yeah. I don't know what the... Like,
you see the pictures.
You were all automatic. If I saw Jim Buss on the street, I swear to God, I'd walk right past him. If I saw Dr. Buss, I know who he is.
Yeah. If I see Jenny Buss, I'd probably like...
If I see Jenny Buss, that's Jenny Buss. Jim Buss is like, you look like your average Joe, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never seen him, so I'm like, well...
He has to do a lot, because now he's been put on the spot.
He's been put on the spot.
But I mean, now with Magic...
He has been put on the spot.
But now that your star player has come out and basically said...
Yeah, now that Kobe has bitched.
You have to start with Jim.
Now Kobe's bitched, so yes, now...
You got to start with Jim and Jenny, and how that relationship's played out. starts there and having a clear direction, clear authority. I might actually try to play this when I put this together. But, I mean.
He's frustrated and rightfully so. They're last in the freaking West.
Yeah. He's speaking from somebody who, one, grew up a Laker fan.
Yeah.
Two, got to play his whole career with the organization he loves.
Yep.
And has basically been taught by the legends what it means to be a Laker.
Yeah, which is winning.
Right.
Championship.
We
or
have
cuts,
a.
Which I understand. Which I
yeah,
get.
Yeah, but there's no. There's
I
a,
have grown up here and I get yeah, it.
There's a standard.
Yes.
That is set here. And it's not always championships. We understand. You we're realistic. Like most Laker fans, I think, are realistic. And like every year is not.
I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah. I'd say most. I ain't going to say all of them. All of them just every year championship. Like.
I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah, Michael Thompson.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Our team is, we're good enough to win eighth. We can win a championship. All right. But you've got it. You have a nice percentage of fans who are like, look, mm-hmm. we know you have to retool, but this that's on the court right now
is unacceptable.
Unfucking acceptable. And I
understand.
Totally in agreement. Yeah.
I'm not even a Laker fan,
on,
but
look,
yes, that is that
know,
is unacceptable.
You stole
like
one from Oklahoma. I don't know how you stole that game from Oklahoma.
Because Oklahoma City slept walked through that game. They didn't take the Lakers seriously, I don't think. Because you saw the next game they came and whopped them.
Yeah, they did.
So, I mean.
Come Thursday, 131-102. Damn.
The Lakers are giving up almost 108 points a game.
And then back to back. That ain't. See, that's why I tell you they jinxed. I was like, somebody done jinxed them. Somebody was like, the Lakers going to be bad. You know what? How about in March, we put Oklahoma City on the road, and then right after that, go to San Antonio. Like, the two teams who were, like, the best in the West previously, we're going to have y'all go back-to-back to them. Yeah,
back
somebody
to back to back to back.
Somebody don't like y'all. And then my Spurs come out.
Wasn't even a game, man. It was. And honestly, like I said, listen. I told Chris, listening to John Ireland call that game, it was almost like he was ready to go home. It was like, oh, three by Danny Green. Good. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. They're just kicking on. And then when I heard the score, it was like 58 to 27 in the second. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm sorry, but I know. And this is completely terrible. I mean, I have seen bad teams before. I mean, seriously, like, this is ridiculous. I have seen piss poor teams, but this is atrocious. I don't think I've ever seen this bad.
No, I've seen,
like, this is bad.
No, I've seen this bad. I've never seen this bad.
Like, this is bad. Letting teams drop 150. This is bad.
I've seen teams that have been that bad, but not a
They're
team
giving
on this
up
level.
Close to 110 points a game.
You already heard Kobe Bryant rumors that he don't want D'Antoni back.
D'Antoni's fired at the end of the season. He's done. All these people talking about, well, he may come back. I don't believe that.
The reason he don't come
he
back,
can't.
The only way he comes
cannot.
Back is they don't want to pay him to go away.
If Jim Buss gives him a mulligan, you've got to be kidding me.
He
will be crucified at that point. He has to. If not just for PR sake,
I will say
on
this.
His portion, he has to make a coaching move. He has to.
I think, especially with them getting a number one pick, well, getting a top three pick in this draft, you want to make sure that whatever this young star you bringing in, that D'Antoni's message or whatever he preaching does not get to this guy.
If I'm going to tell you this, Laker fan, straight up, there it is, Jim Buss. If you want to keep your star player happy, what you are going to do is fuck the draft. You are going to trade that high pick that you get. Hopefully, it's a number one. Hopefully, trade that number one pick and get you a superstar player to put next to Kobe Bryant. If you want to win, if you want to turn it around quick, you are not going to use that pick. You are going to trade that pick and get you a star, or at least somebody on the cusp of stardom to put next to Kobe Bryant. You need a proven commodity. No.
What's the food guy?
Try to get a Rajon Rondo. Package that pick. Try to get Rondo and some other pieces. You get you a nice point guard. Maybe they throw in Jared Sullinger. You never know what I'm saying. And there you go. You got a nice point guard, a decent power forward to put next to him. Use that cap space in the offseason. Get some players around there. You know what I'm saying? Do not pick Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid. Don't waste the time. Kobe's got 2 years. You better pull a Denver Broncos and go all in.
This is the problem. My problem with them is they've been going all in.
And you know what? At this point, and like you said, they have set a standard. There is a standard of excellence. What is the street called? It's called the Avenue of Champions, not the Avenue of Asses. So the Lakers have set a standard of winning tradition. So if you want to win, you know what to do. You know what it takes to win. Jerry West made this team win. They were winning. Dr. Buss had this team winning. Whatever it takes.
But you need to.
Traded for Shaq. Signed Shaq. Made the correct moves draft-wise. Did what it took to win. I'm trading Vlade Divac for Kobe because I see something in this kid.
But they don't have that. The difference in that period is they don't have, all right.
You have an asset. Okay. It's called that top three
If you have a top three pick.
If you have the number one pick, that is gold.
Yes, but what else do you have to get a superstar besides that pick? Nothing. That's my problem.
But the thing is, you can get quality for that.
No, you can. They
especially
can.
Especially in this quote-unquote deep draft.
All right, I'll put it this way. If they get the number one pick.
They can get a nice package for that.
Unless you're getting a player who is a top. I'll put it this way. If you get a top five player
honestly,
at their position. If you're going to give me a top five. Center, that's it. But I mean,
F a center. They need a wing. I'm like, give me a Nicholas Batum and something else, or give me, I need somebody who I know can come in and ball.
Are you telling me if I'm Portland and you're gonna have to give up Nicholas Batum and Wesley Matthews or somebody?
You know what I'm saying?
And you give me Andrew Wiggins? Yes, I'm taking Andrew Wiggins.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. So the Lakers need to use that because you have no assets.
But the problem
you need to create some
is.
So you take that treasure you have and you triple your assets.
But the problem, my side of the story is I'll put it this way. That signing screwed them because all this talk of we need to tank and just start over. I'm like, but the problem, think of every other team that had a star player on a team that sucks. I mean, Kyrie Irving. Kevin Love, all of them. Oh, why don't y'all trade him? Why don't you trade Rajon Rondo? You know he don't want to be there. You know, why don't – you sign this dude, but if you want to suck and rebuild quickly, most teams are going to have to trade that big moneymaker.
Yeah.
And you can't.
No, they cannot trade Kobe Bryant. At least until the last year of his deal.
I'll package the pick and Rudy Gay. You give me a top three player, yeah. But they don't have that other dude.
No.
If they had gotten it a year earlier, maybe it was we'll package that pick and Pau Gasol to get Kevin Love.
You know what I'm saying?
Then you probably might have
been. You might have been.
But you we got the number one pick. You and what else? Minnesota, kiss my butt. I'm not giving you Kevin Love for anybody.
For the number one pick.
No. What else you giving
it
me?
You're not going to get somebody on that level for it.
But
I'm saying you can get a Rajon Rondo for that.
Yes, you can.
So I'm that's what I'm saying. You package that around him and then maybe flip Jared Sullinger, get you another couple pieces. You know what I'm saying? You have no investments. You need to create
some. The problem is you have, if you upgrade a little bit, if you say, all right, we'll add maybe the guy who's going to be the number the third guy or upgrade your point. But some spot you have to keep that max contract spot open for next. If you don't get Carmelo, which I don't think is going to happen, if you don't get somebody on that level who's that kind of difference maker this season, then you hold on to that. On to that 20-some-odd million, and you just wait next season.
I'm going to tell you this first. If the Lake, honestly, with the stuff that Magic and Kobe have come out and said.
Kobe said he's not waiting.
Kobe said he is not going to accept another sorry season. Right. So, if you want to change that around, you have heard it here first. I'm going to tell you how to fix the Lakers quickly. You get that top three pick. You flip that and get you perhaps a Rajon Rondo, a Jared Sellinger, or maybe a Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley. I don't know. Something along those lines, okay? Then you fire Mike D'Antoni. You hire a coach who's a playoff coach. I'm sorry. Mike D'Antoni is not a playoff coach. Lionel Hollins, get your butt to L.A. quickly. That is what needs to happen.
Or even George Karl.
A proven commodity.
Right.
Get you that. You re-sign Pau Gasol. You make amends with him and re-sign him for less than what? Because he ain't getting the 19 mil or whatever. Okay. You sign him. Give him 2 year 10. Boom. Then you got. I'm serious. I'm being real here. Pal, I'm trying to win rings. What you trying to do? You trying to win? I'm trying to win then. You got that? You got Kobe. You got Pal. Perhaps a Rondo. Now, you got cap space. Use that cap space. Get you a center. Perhaps re-sign Chris Kaman. He wasn't bad for the stints Mike D'Antoni let him play. I don't know why he don't let him play. You re-sign Chris Kaman, and then you put some role players around there. Problem solved. There it is. You got to, because I'm like, you add a, if you got Rondo, you got Kobe, you got Powell. That's a nice trio right there. Because Powell has proven this season that he can still play at a high level. Dear. You have Kobe Bryant. We don't know what he's going to look like, but, you know, I'm sure Kobe, look, we all know who Kobe Bryant freaking is. He's going to at least, he's going to be decent. He's not going to completely fall flat on his face and be terrible. No. So, he's going to put up some points. And if you have Rondo, Rondo can set the pace, and Rondo is a triple-double machine. You know what I'm saying? So you've got that. You put shooters around them. Boom! And then you have a veteran coach who knows, you know, who can handle everything come playoff time, has the experience, and gives them an opportunity to perhaps, I'm not going to guarantee it, but you are at least, they'll at least be in the playoffs next year in that scenario.
And what position would you...
I'd put them at least in, they're not going to be in the top four. They'd probably be fifth or sixth.
Okay.
In that scenario. So, you heard it here first.
I would say this. If they get the number one pick.
Flip it. Trade it. I know everybody's like, pick Joel Embiid. Flip that sucker.
I mean, shit, Andrew Wiggins, them.
Y'all trying to win.
Ball now. Oh. I put it this way, in a draft that supposedly has that kind of talent, I need to get something really good for that pick.
We're not talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers here. We're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers.
If you give
who
me
need a quick fix and a quick turnaround.
If you give me a Rondo-ish
type player,
my ears would be open and I would really consider.
That's what I'm saying. If you're trying to win.
Which honestly, I will say this for the Lakers right now, what y'all need to do, fix your damn relationship, Jimmy and Jim. Kobe is correct, and we preach that over here. It all starts from the top.
Jim, Genie, Kobe, Magic all need to sit down in the room. All the buses, because I heard it's a third sibling who owns something too.
Like six of them or something.
They all need to sit down and just honestly just have like an intervention and just get everything out in the open and clear the air, dude. I'm serious.
He mentioned there.
Because you can't work. I have worked in a situation where it's kind of a hostile environment. You can't work in that.
Right.
You can't. It's impossible to really do a good job in
there
that
needs
situation.
There needs to be an air clearing situation. There needs to be some situation where when information comes to them on terms of making big moves like they have to do right now.
Together.
Right. You need to have the person who understands how it's going to affect the business, which is Jenny. And then you need somebody who's like, is this team going to help us win, which is Jim. And y'all need to, if y'all don't really want to hang out and go to dinner and all that and talk, but, you know, y'all talk a couple times a week and then we sit down and cordial and we can, you know, stop putting personal damn feelings aside. Yeah. You know, just be like, just the
this
team.
This is a business relationship.
This is about the Lakers, exactly. What we need to do for the best of this Lakers and our father's legacy. And then after that, if I don't really want to talk to your ass, I won't.
Exactly.
Same way, well, Shaq and Kobe didn't end well. I'm going to say the same way Shaq and Kobe did it, but it didn't end that great.
Yeah.
Well, and then go from there because, you need some help.
Yeah, badly.
And then the rest of this season, man, I'm looking at the standings right now. Your team is balling, man.
Like I said, I'm sorry, Laker fans, but I don't use injuries as it's an excuse. We lost Derrick Rose. Joakim Noah has stepped his game up.
Let's talk about your boy Joakim Noah, who Kevin McHale said should be Defensive Player of the Year. Tonight, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 5 blocks.
Now, I said this, and I'm going to say it again. Arguably, best center in the league. Mm-hmm. Arguably. You can say Dwight Howard all you want, but Joakim Noah can do anything Dwight can do, and he can do a little bit better. He can score now. He has proven it. He's taking over that scoring load. He's a better passer, clearly.
He's
a better defender. Well, let me say that he is a better defender. Why? Because he can guard cats on the perimeter. Dwight can't go out there and guard cats on the perimeter.
Good point.
He had that one little thing where he guarded LeBron for the last second shot. I'm talking about actually guarding cats on the perimeter and can stick with them.
They're both good rebounders.
Very good rebounders. But Joakim Noah also has that emotional edge. Yeah, he's a much better leader than Dwight Howard is. He keeps his team focused on the task at hand. Dwight's more, you know, playful and laughing and all that stuff. And that's fine, you know. Everybody has their own way of leading, and I don't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
But a guy like Joakim Noah, you can see the passion and the fact, and he don't want to lose, ever. And that's the type of leadership you want in your locker room. You need it. Honestly, every team needs a guy like that who will push the envelope just a little bit. Who will get under cat's skin just a little bit. Who don't take no shit. But at the same time, who has everybody's back in that locker room.
Yeah,
like, you fuck with my teammate, I got his back. Don't fuck with mine.
Y'all had some big games this week. Beat Miami last Sunday.
Got our butts handed to us by the Spurs.
Yeah,
and then came back and smacked Dwight Howard in Houston.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, buddy.
Holler at your boy.
I mean, right now you guys are a game.
DJ Augustine, pick up of the season. Are you kidding me? DJ Augustine? Yeah. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Yeah,
Toronto got rid of him because he wasn't doing crap. And then what happened?
Indiana
Tom Thibodeau just makes him great.
Yeah, Indiana had no use.
That is why Tom Thibodeau's a top 3 coach in this league. Booyah. That's right there.
You ain't got no argument on that.
Jimmy Butler shutting down LeBron James. I'm just like, the Bulls, and I have tweeted it many times, the one team nobody want to see in the playoffs. Because why? Yeah, they're last in scoring, but they're damn near first in defense.
Yeah, they get under your skin.
If they can get some points on you, if you allow them to score 90 to 100 points, you're probably going to lose.
Hey, man, right now.
They're locking cats down.
You a game behind Toronto for third.
Let's go.
I keep telling you, if you play Indiana, they snapped their streak. They're losing streak, but they haven't been playing that well.
I mean, I've already said, I don't expect us to win the championship, but whoever plays us in the playoffs, whether it's Miami or Indiana, they go into the next series bruised and battered and physically worn. So it's going to be a much easier task for whoever they're playing against.
Oh, yeah, because at the top right now, Bird is disappointed in this team. Feels like they just not coming out with a sense of we just going to smack these teams. They kind of just wait to let the game play. But he's like, that ain't enough. Y'all got to come out here like we determined to beat them and smack them upset. He's not mad at them.
Yeah.
People got a little upset with, you know, him calling his team out, but
rightfully so.
That's what you
want. That's what you got to do. Sometimes.
Paul George, that's your mentor.
I'm like, he's a top 5 player in this league. He's competitive.
He's a winner.
He wants to win.
Mm-hmm. And he's letting you, he's been in them battles.
Exactly.
You know, you kind of start smelling yourself. You know, Paul George, start the season. Is he a top 3 player?
Like, let's calm it down a little bit.
MVP talk? Roy Hibbert?
Yeah, the MVP talk has started to dwindle.
He's
kind of falling off. Now it's LeBron and Kevin Durant, and I've heard Joakim Noah's name throwing in there as well. So,
yeah, they're not. You know, they got to get back to doing it.
Blake Griffin,
yeah, I'm saying. And then Miami has lost 5 of 6. You know, honestly, ugly people gonna be like, they've lost 18 of 20.
Who cares?
It's just a regular season.
Who cares? It's like the Spurs, dude. I'm serious because I'm like,
well, they don't lose that bad. No, the Spurs lose like that. People be like, oh, I'm concerned. But it's like Miami loses 8 of 9.
Well, you're
well. It's only the real. It's only April.
The real NBA fans know if the Spurs go on a little losing streak, nobody cares. And like once they get to the playoffs, it doesn't matter.
People just be like, "Oh, they nothing. Of course they're gonna lose.
Of course.
Oh, now we have first. Now we're in first place. Oh, let's not talk about that.
Right. Like nobody. And that's why I love that tweet I tweeted out with that picture. Yeah. Tony Parker laughing. Like nobody knows we're in first. Like it's the truth. I didn't even know at the time. I'm like, damn, the Spurs are in first place. Jesus. This is what I've always said. This is why I don't talk about the Spurs, because they keep cruising.
That's what I'm saying.
They just, we all know it's the same old story. Nobody picks the Spurs. Spurs win and get the damn number one seed. Then it's like, oh, the Spurs are actually good. Yes, they're good.
That's what I'm
saying. They're going to win the championship this year. What is it, 2013? No, 14.
14. That's all right. They're due. We were there. We got that taste, and we still bitter. But yeah, hey, man, look, I'm going to head to the West in a second, but yeah, the East, you still got, you ahead of Washington. Washington's fifth. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Brooklyn, man.
Hey, they're stepping their game up. I got to give them some credit.
We criticized.
We crapped on them.
On Jason Kidd and all that thing, and rightfully so, but.
I thought the Lawrence Frank move was terrible. It turns out it might have turned things around for the better.
He stuck with his message, yeah. And right now his team is playing well. They're only four games out of third. I mean, they're in the mix.
I will eat my words for that one. So Jason Kidd,
I thought he would be good, better. But I agreed. I thought that was for a team that was trying to win right now. I wasn't sure, but mm-hmm. I thought he'd be a good coach. And right now he's stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped up. Charlotte's still hanging in there. And
I told you, Al Jefferson, baby.
And right now Atlanta is holding on to eighth, three and a half ahead of the Knicks,
ugh.
And four ahead of Cleveland.
So if New York Knicks make it to the playoffs, should they fire Mike Woodson? If he gets that team to the playoffs, he deserves a mulligan just for pulling that off. I'm sorry.
I want to see how the season, when the season ends, I'll make that decision. But as of right now, I don't
it's
think
it's not his fault. I feel bad for him. He's one coach. I feel it really isn't his fault. It's not his fault. It's management.
But you've had that situation in Atlanta.
Yeah.
His players seem to tune him out.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, our West. My Spizzers came ahead of Oklahoma City.
Just doing with it. Just keep cruising.
Hey, man, I know you're happy
cruising
right now.
Like a six.
Kevin Durant doing his thing. Russell Westbrook seems to be, for the moment, taking less shots.
Thank God.
And actually has been playing a really good all-around game. Still being aggressive.
Of course.
Which I like.
Which he should be.
Hey, man,
I just said, at the end of the day, he should not be taking more.
Speaking of that,
Westbrook.
With Pat Beverly. I mean.
He's crossing the line too much, man.
Yeah, I don't mind him being physical with Russell Westbrook. I like that. I like that he's just not giving him any room. He's playing him, you know, like, I'm D-ing you up. But I think he had 2 points in that game, which is not going to work. You're going to have to at least contribute.
Something.
Another way. The whole, you know, you could see Westbrook was going to his team bench about to call a timeout, you being aggressive there. I wasn't mad at Russell Westbrook for being like, hey, back the fuck up.
Right. I'm like, dude, this is
like,
stop
this fool
doing
had a flashback
this.
Again. Now he was like, I'm about to bust your ass.
Your PTSD.
For real. Like, Which,
like, what's going on?
And you
son?
Kind of, you made him, that, you kind of pissed him off. Like, look, be aggressive. But don't poke the bear too many times.
Yeah.
Like, you get a guy, you get one of them dudes who can put 40 up, you get them mad.
And then
I ain't one of them that's like, okay, well, just don't say nothing to him. I ain't with that. But if you aggressive with him, make him, you know,
uncomfortable.
Like, Kawhi Leonard is not going to be talking trash against LeBron James and LeBron James struggle. I'm like, I'm going to just make you work. Mm-hmm. That's it. Play you tough. I'm not saying nothing. But if you're going to be like, yeah, and get all aggressive, you're going to be like, the hell wrong with you? Oh, okay. You want that? Okay, come on then. And
they pissed off Kevin Durant because he went bananas in the fourth quarter. Three. Oh, mm-hmm. Step back. Three. Oh, give me another one. Three. I was just like, phew.
Yeah, Oklahoma City is.
You pissed them off.
They're the top two teams. Clippers.
Yep.
With Blake Griffin, who has, you know, we talked about before,
MVP
improving.
Status, man.
They get JJ Reddy back.
If they
scary.
Get him back.
Oh, it's an
there's
if, man?
Talk he may not come Ooh. Back. So, but. On a bright note, Danny Granger has played better than expected mm-hmm. so far. So, if he can take that spot, that's a nice piece for them.
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
Very nice piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Jamal Crawford is banged up, but they two game out. And Houston at number four. Houston's been playing. Well, I know they got a big game tomorrow going at Miami. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. Portland's kind of slipped. You know, I'm looking this week. They lost to Houston, lost to Memphis. You know, they won against New Orleans, but lost to the Spurs.
Yep,
yeah, went by my Spurs. They starting to get a little tight now. I think they were rolling early in the season. A lot of people's favorites to really do something was in that mix with the Spurs and the Thunder. But right now, they seem to be struggling, not getting as much bench production. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge is shooting too many shots.
Yeah.
They're going to hang in there, but it's going to be a tough out.
Definitely.
Golden State, you know, from what I've heard, you know, I don't know if Mark Jackson's routine is starting to wear on him.
Already?
I don't know, man. Golden State, after the season they had, you figure they would not be six.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nine games back and only one game, a game and a half ahead of Dallas and Memphis. Memphis is starting to come along, man. Mm-hmm. Mike Conley, probably the most underrated point guard, one of the most underrated players. That dude just gets it done.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. He's improved.
Getting scary, man. We got to play Memphis again. Fine. But, yeah, I like that. And then, you know, Phoenix supposed to have Eric Bledsoe coming back.
Mm. We'll see.
You know, but that fight for that eight spot.
It's going to be rough. Mm.
Man, Minnesota look out of it.
Yeah.
And all that. And the Lakers is at the bottom. And before we head to break, shout out to Allen Iverson. Got his jersey retired.
Excellent.
By the Sixers.
Excellent job. And they still lost.
Great ceremony. I know. they about that. But they about that number. They trying to challenge the Lakers for number one pick.
But yeah, I mean, that was, you know, it was great to see that, you know, AI got a chance to get his jersey retired. There will never again be a number three. In Philadelphia.
No, it was cool, man. You had Pat Croce there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like he said, I mean, seeing, like, the legends come out, you know, Moses Malone, Julius Erving, all them there to pay homage to you. I mean, that's major.
And that shows you the impact that he had on the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I'm saying. People, to me, this new generation – Allen Iverson was that dude. Derrick Rose before Derrick Rose. He was John Wall before John Wall. It was Allen Iverson.
People wanted the tattoos. People started rocking the sleeves.
You're talking about a dude who could get from end to end fast. Allen Iverson.
Like pound for pound.
Might be the best of all time. The man was like 5'11". He was tiny.
Mm-hmm. It was just attacked.
Warrior, dude. On that Tony Parker. Just lay up here and just lay up there. Ooh, small but mighty.
Yeah, I hated to see what happened to him off the court and all that. But on the court, that dude was just a beast.
Yeah, and you hate to see guys like that never get a ring in their career. But
right.
If you look at the team he took to the finals, it wasn't the best team.
Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But he got them there. Yeah. He got them there.
It was just like, oh, you played Shaq.
They won the first game, and it was like, oh, snap. He stepped over Tyronn Lue. And it was like, oh, that's it. Rap.
That was a one game.
Phil Jackson was like, all right, we ain't having that. Knock it off.
That was that season at the Lakers. That was the only season game they lost.
Yep. It was like, no, that not happening again. One championship. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm all right. So. But yeah, shout out to Iverson, man.
Definitely. Hall of Fame bound.
Yeah, first ballot for sure.
No question.
Oh, yeah, and I meant to bring this up because we didn't talk about him. What do you think of Steve Nash's comments about him saying that?
Basically, glad he was honest.
Playing for the money.
I'm glad he was freaking honest. You know what? He said what cats are scared to say, that they are doing it for the money. And you know what? I ain't mad at him. For all the Laker fans who was crapping on him, why he playing 10 games and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you damn right I did it for the money. You damn right I did it for the money to feed my family and take care of my fam bam. So,
yeah, I mean, he's technically, I think he's.
And for the class, Steve Nash has been a class act his entire career. So leave the man alone. Because I'm like, you know what? He's done nothing wrong. Y'all traded for him. You know what I'm saying?
You traded for him. He's wanted to come here and win. You don't think this injury crap and not being able to play is taking a toll on him?
He wants to play. It's not like he, yes, he's part of him is doing it for the money, but he really does want to play again.
He's always been a guy like that who wants to play.
He wants to play.
But I know now that he's toward the end of his career and
he realizes this is it.
I think his kids in Phoenix. I don't know if he's divorced or not. I can't confirm that.
Well, if that's the case, he's paying half.
I know there was some
I really want. Yeah, I want that money.
Yeah, I knew there was some kind. There's something going on with that. You know, like, hey, people are like, well, he's made enough money. I'm like, yeah, but that $9-10 million.
And if you were in that situation, you'd be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So don't even act like you wouldn't do the same.
It stings from a person like that, and it's kind of like, damn.
You know, exactly. But I mean, it's blunt, but it's true. Mm-hmm. But and that's a lot of players. Yeah, that ain't just him.
I do think he wants to play first.
He does,
and then the money, but. Okay.
And I think it really bothered him that Laker fans were really like crapping on him.
I think the fact that all he heard.
I think that really hurt his feelings, like really, really bugged him.
I think that probably played a part in the way in how he said
it. Because he came off a little aggressive and a
little.
Like,
yeah, I'm doing it for the money.
You know, and a little ill-tempered. And I'm like, I think Laker fans pissed him off.
Yeah, I think all.
I think that really bothered him.
Hearing Laker media and all that.
Why didn't he sit? Now he's costing us money for the cap and all this.
Why don't you just sit so we don't have to pay you and clear off the cap?
And it's like, well,
why don't you just retire? So, and then he's just like, you know what? Fuck y'all.
And this is why I say with Laker fans, you got to stop crapping on your players, dude. I mean, I understand y'all are upset and pissed off because you're losing, but don't take it out on your damn players because that is. You don't think other players see this. Dudes do not want to come to a fan base who is going to shit on them all the time when they're down.
Yep, and nobody wants to play for a coach who's just like, why'd your team get your ass kicked? Well, we just don't have the talent. Like, damn, word? So. We can't beat these teams because we're just not as good. Yeah, I want to play for that coach.
Yeah, exactly. So, Lakers have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So,
good luck, buses.
Exactly.
But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Man, NFL free agency.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's pumped at this table.
That's right.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
You enjoy this shit right here.
Yeah.
Happy Hour and the other shows that come out of the Black Is Network. Please check us out at blackisonline.com. Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Hey, we'd like to hear your thoughts. What should the Lakers do? Should D'Antoni be fired? Was Phil Jackson's best move to fix in the Knicks? Do you like the Spurs or are you just hating? Whatever. Anything y'all want to hit us up with. The Brothers Lehman at gmail.com. On Twitter, at Brothers Lehman. Voicemail 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know your thoughts and let us know what you're thinking.
All right, we hear NFL free agency signing's been crazy.
Yep.
And you know it's basically been a two-team battle right now.
It's been a chess match.
AFC. I mean,
if you're a diehard Broncos fan like me, you're just like, you just feeling yourself right now. You are like, we are the shit. Super Bowl bound again, baby. We need a D and we got it. Boom!
Yeah, Aqib Talib, waived by Patriots. Pick him up. DeMarcus Ware, waived by Cowboys. Pick him up. Like, damn.
Sign TJ Ward. We got young cats, too. That's the one thing nobody's really talking about. It's like, yes, the money was great that we saved. I'm like, TJ Ward is 27. Aqib Talib is 28. DeMarcus Ware, 31. We got some young cats, baby. We got young blood. That's what we needed on that defense. And now you add Emmanuel Sanders, who's what? 26? 27? Boom! John Elway strikes again.
Yo, Broncos been on a mission. I After the Super Bowl they had, I'm not mad at them. They're like, you know what? We ain't fucking around.
Peyton Manning has a 2-year window. Let's get this for as many weapons as possible.
You basically like, we had the best offense.
We didn't need offense. They ain't worried about the offense. Defense was slacking. Then we get our bus whipped
on defense. So you're like, you know what? Let's get some defense.
But they took a page out of the Seattle's playbook. Like, you get T.J. Ward, who is basically your Cam Chancellor, who's a physical safety who will lay that hit on cats. Mm-hmm. You got Aqib Talib, who's a big corner.
Yep, who fools was saying, Aqib Talib was playing, we would have been in the Super Bowl. Yep. So, I mean,
he was arguably Patriots' best defensive player. We all saw the game where he shut down Jimmy Graham and held him to 0 catches.
Yep, and then all this, and then DeMarcus Ware. I mean, shit.
Now you got Von Miller coming back. Granted, he is coming back off an ACL injury, so we still have to see how he's going to come back and perform. But
he had a down year last year.
But he's let's all still keep young. In mind, he's still, this is his fourth season. He's still a young cat. He's like 25 years old. He's a young guy. We've seen guys be able to bounce back. So we'll see.
And you never know when guys have a season like that where they really underperform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he may come back with a chip on the shoulder.
I mean, let's be real. The dude, season prior, he had 18 and a half sacks. He got talent. The man can ball. So.
And what you talking about, this nickname, Werewolf?
Werewolf, baby. Derek Wolf and DeMarcus Ware. You throw in Von Knighton on that line, baby. Oh, our defensive line is sick. Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. If Von Miller comes back and looks like the Von Miller of old, and you team him up with DeMarcus Ware, throwing some Derek Wolfe, it's a wrap, son. And Terrence Knighton, who just flew up on the radar last year. Our defense is sick.
Yeah, you should feel good, man. Y'all have really made an upgrade.
And now we've just replaced Eric Decker. Holla at your boy, son. Yeah. We are not skipping a beat.
I'm not. Y'all haven't.
Let's y'all go.
As far as your rivals, like losing, I keep believe. All right,
we'll see y'all. Darrell Revis, fine.
I ain't mad at him on a 1-year deal.
That was brilliant.
He took less money. That was shocking, man.
And then it came out that the Broncos contract with Aqib Talib technically could be looked at as a 1-year, as kind of a similar contract to Darrell Revis's, because they can get under it without much of a cap hit the next season. Man, so
you know with me, I look at them. I told you, I look at these things. Like, I just look at how much signing bonus did you get and who did you go to? Because I'm like, clearly you can get cut.
Sign a 6-year, $100 million
contract. You just seen it with Darrell Revis. Oh, I signed a big payday. Cut your ass.
With no cap hit at all because there was no more guaranteed money.
Don't matter.
Yep.
Don't matter. So, yeah, I mean, Terrell Revis was big, mm-hmm. getting Brian Browner, although he will be out the first 4 games.
But that's a big signing for them. That's a really good signing for them. They were able to re-sign Julian Edelman today. A nice pickup for them. They got Brandon LaFell also. So,
he's getting quality receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully for them, Gronk can come back.
Hopefully Aaron Dobson and Kimbrel Tompkins can grow in the second year. You got Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen in the backfield. Yeah,
what's my man that always hurt?
Danny Amendola. Yeah. If he can stay healthy.
You got these guys who are another year in the system. Ooh, it's the 2-team race.
Yep. I mean, period. But, I mean, clearly the Broncos have had the better offseason up to this point. And we'll see, man. The Broncos are setting themselves up nicely. They haven't gutted their salary cap too much, so that when that day does come that Peyton Manning has to retire, they will have some space available to surround Brock Osweiler with some pieces. Plus, they got to re-sign Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, and Von Miller. So, boom, I'm loving John Elway.
That's right. Although we've seen, this Wolfork kind of like he want to release. That's gonna hurt a little bit.
That's what happens, man. When you start telling these veteran dudes especially these Pro Bowl players, they're very prideful, and you're like, you telling them you want them to take a pay cut, you know, a la what happened with the Broncos last year where that was Doomerville. Mm-hmm. He held out to the last fucking minute. Then we had that damn fax fiasco and ended up in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. So when you ask these Pro Bowl players to take pay cuts, it's almost to them, it's almost like a slap in the face.
Yeah, because the organization's taking a hit. Like, I'm naming two right now. First off, Steve Smith.
Yep.
Cut by the Panthers, which was that was kind of hard to see.
It was.
And a little, you know, fans protesting.
Granted, he's not a number one anymore. He's not. He just doesn't have that ability anymore. You can just see it on the field. Yeah. But
he is an A plus.
I mean, with Brandon LaFell gone and now Steve Smith going to Baltimore and Ted Ginn going to Arizona, you got no receivers at all. They got Tavares King. I love that name too, but former Bronco selection. We see we just all over the place. We can't stay away. But
that's gonna hurt.
Yeah, they're definitely gonna be targeting some wide receivers in that draft because it's supposed to be deep with receivers. So we'll see.
Got to now.
Yeah, ain't got a choice.
He goes on to the Ravens.
Nice pickup for them. Now in that role, he's perfect because Torrey Smith is your number one.
Still got re-signed Jacoby Jones.
Re-signed Dennis Pitta.
Yeah.
So he has weapons around him now to work with, and depending on what happens with Ray Rice. So we'll see. But, you know, they gave Joe Flacco some weapons now. Now, honestly, Joe Flacco really doesn't have any
giving
excuses.
Him a Steve Smith is like, okay.
That's an Anquan Boldin. You have given him an Anquan Boldin again. So he now, at this point, for me, with Joe Flacco, he has no excuses. You got three pretty good receivers. You got your tight end back. We'll see what happens at running back, even though Bernard Pierce himself ain't no slouch. So, right now, he got to perform. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they got to step it up, too. But, John Harbaugh, I'm looking at you, sir.
Yeah, what else we got? Other one. With the Saints, you know, trading Darren Sproles to the Eagles for a fifth-round pick.
I didn't like that, man. I mean, I understand Chip Kelly's, you know, usage of the little, you know, running backs here and there. But I'm like, dude, you have LeSean McCoy. I mean, I
it's good having, like, all right, we got
another, a nice backup, but I'm like,
we can actually play some.
I'm like, do I want to take the ball out of LeSean McCoy's hands, put it in yours? I mean, I guess if you want to limit LeSean McCoy a little bit on the hits he takes and all that, I get it. But I'm like, they're kind of similar.
Yeah, they are. He's not like a,
they're
a
both
bruiser.
Smallish. Kind of guys, and
you feel like
know.
You would want to replace him with a bruiser,
yeah, with the big guy, going,
you know, body shots, you know. And it was like I was saying with the organizations, his wife came out and was like, I don't like the way that the New Orleans handled this situation. Told my husband that they were going to release him, and then it was like, you know what,
if we can get some value for you, we're going to get some.
Never mind. And, you know, she's more like, why don't you just tell him what's up? Don't just be like, we're going to release you, and then you don't.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, with I get to choose where I want to go.
But, I mean, that's the league. And, honestly, if I'm going to let you go, but if I find somebody who's willing to give me some value for you, I'm going to trade you.
Do I get nothing or a fifth-round pick? I want the fifth
round. Then, I mean, and he signed an extension with Philly after the fact. So, I mean, obviously, he probably wants to be there. And it wouldn't shock me that if New Orleans maybe gave him a choice of where to be traded to. Because the Broncos did something similar with Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. They were like, you want to go Jacksonville or New York? He chose New York, fine, whatever, that happened. So they might have said, you know, you want to go to Philly, you want to go here or there. And he was like, you know, I'll go to Philly. They were in a winning situation. And who knows? I don't know. I don't know the stipulation, so it's possible. So, you know, good luck to him in the future. I mean, he's going to another winning team.
Yeah, I mean, he's going
to
a good team, but it
and I'm sure it stings.
I feel where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, and she even admitted, I'm sure people are going to be like, why don't you just be quiet because you ain't playing. It ain't your name on the check.
But I understand where she's coming from because, I mean, she probably has to that's up. The, she got up and move now.
That's the part of the being a player, like,
and it's like you want to move your family where you want to move them.
Don't buy.
Exactly. So now they gotta
if there's some place you know you want to live and you want to buy, cool. But in that city, especially if you're a football player, yeah, I'm just renting. I'm leasing.
And people don't think about, like, their families and stuff. I'm like, so his wife now, I'm like, she may have to up and move them, their kids, pull them out of school, right, and roll them down to school in Philly. I mean, it goes deeper than just, you know.
Do I just stay here? Now my family not here.
And now my dad's gone. He's in Philly, and you know, so
you know, I mean, my wife. It makes
it goes deeper than just, you know, football. It goes into your personal life too. So that's his wife. She has a right to speak her mind. Whatever.
Yeah, she mad. It's like, all right, you venting. I get that. But let's see, Julius Peppers, way by the Bears, signs 3-year with the Packers.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. Not feeling that. No, I mean, and it's nothing against Julius Peppers or the Packers. It's just they run a 3-4. He doesn't fit that scheme. He's always been in a 4-3. So for me, it was like, that don't even make no sense. That don't add up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Julius Peppers still got some gas in the tank, so we'll see. I don't know how it'll be utilized. I don't know. But I'm sure he got some good guaranteed money.
Oh, yeah. I know one person who was happy about the wave, Kai Love. She was like, thank you. Wave his butt. Like, all right.
Okay.
You know, like we said, y'all lost Eric Decker, went with the Jets.
That's fine.
Overpayment on that?
Not too bad. I mean, it was like 5 years, 30-some-odd million. That actually wasn't that bad of a contract. I thought he was going to get something closer to similar to like what Mike Wallace got, kind of. But that actually wasn't a bad contract for the Jets. So he's going to have to get used to the ball ain't going to be as crisp. The ball ain't going to be as accurate.
You know,
so you're going to have the number one corner on you at all times.
It's going to be more like them Tim Tebow days and nothing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So and this is what you want. You want to be that dude.
Yep. You got to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Another wide receiver, Golden Tate going to the Lions.
That was smooth.
I like that.
That was great move by the Lions. That was great. They were looking for they've been looking for a dude to team up with Calvin Johnson. He's a very good explosive receiver.
Yeah, he's proven. And you know, Megatron double teams, and getting a guy who can a quarterback who can air it out more so.
And he went to Notre Dame, which is in the Midwest. You know what I'm saying? So he's probably familiar with the area. I mean, and it's Detroit, dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Don't blow it this year, Lions. I mean, that's a good move. Matthew Stafford.
He goes to a system now where, honestly, he's going to get more catches, a lot more targets. They got a pass-oriented system.
You've seen it. Like, Titus Young couldn't step up.
Nope.
Nate
Burleson was all right.
He was just hurt. But, you know, like, if you can be better than Nate Burleson, and he was having a good year before he left. I mean, that's just an upgrade.
Yep.
You know, so I'm curious to see that.
You got Bucks signed Josh McCown. Yeah, I mean, I guess Lovie Smith ain't sold on Mike Glennon. So that's all that says.
But when I saw that, I was like, okay, Chicago, you better get a backup because quality backups are very important in the NFL these days.
Or Lovie Smith is fine with Mike Glennon, but he might feel he needs to sit a year or two.
And he might get
which is fine.
Well, he wants in the battle, and that probably means they're not going to take one high, maybe a second round, a round quarterback. Hey, the Raiders, man, Justin Tuck, Lamar Woodley. And you already heard Justin Tuck, who was like, they kind of disrespect me what they offer. I got a little chip on my shoulder. I'm like, all right.
What they offer.
Basically sound like the contract that they offered was basically like, we want you to take like a gang less.
Well, I mean, he didn't make it. What did he sign with the Raiders for? For like 2 years, 11 minutes. I mean, it wasn't that much. So
I guess
they lowballed him then.
He called it disrespectful.
They might have been like the veteran minimum type. Yeah. But I mean, hey, for the Raiders, you know, not bad. You got Lamar Woodley. You got Justin Tuck.
No, for a team that's good.
That needs some help. That's not bad as a pass rushing tandem.
Yeah, some great veteran leadership on that.
Both of them have Super Bowl rings, so they can teach your young guys how to play, how to prepare, and all that. So yes, from that standpoint, leadership wise, that is a great move by the Raiders organization. So we'll see how it pans out. We'll see. The Raiders have a lot of cap space. They're going to have to fill some needs through the draft. I mean, that's how they're going to have to rebuild. Until they get better, that's what they're going to have to do. Because nobody wants to go to a losing organization. It's just true.
No, I feel you on that. Akeem Nick signed a 1-year deal with the Colts. Not bad.
Not bad.
Next to Reggie Wayne.
Prove it.
Give Andrew Luck some more pieces.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions were signing Brandon Pettigrew. Like, okay. I mean, I know they've been off and on with him.
Yeah, he's okay. He's He's more of a blocker than a real playmaking receiver.
But he's talented enough.
He's good enough. Weapon. He's an average tight end.
Now you called a John DeMartin. You were like, he got to go somewhere where he's known.
Thank you.
Go to the 49ers.
Thank you. I told you. I knew it. I knew it. And he will be a backup this season. So, fine. He gets to go back to the city and the area where he went to college. Mm-hmm. He gets to play for his old coach. So, it all made sense. I mean, honestly, it just made sense. And that was the only place I could see him being, either there or the Colts. I particularly thought he'd go to Indianapolis just because they need offensive line help. But he's in a good situation. At least he gets to go back to – he gets to go to a good organization who has – granted, they have some issues with their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it seems to be a pretty strong locker room system. So,
you know, I worked at – I know you said he gets a clean slate. So, good for him. I thought he was not going nowhere. But clearly he – he wrote out, I said, Roman Harper news. Roman Harper headed to the Panthers. Like, okay, all right.
And then we had Rashard Mendenhall, call it quits.
Oh, yeah, son.
At 28 years old. I ain't mad at some of these cats for calling it quits, man. Some of these cats are like, I made my money. I'm tired of taking a beating. My body just can't take
it
no
more. Yeah, I think
more.
I wrote on that. I think he's 28 for sure. But he was young. I mean, I was like, wow. When I saw it, I was like, he's retiring? Like,
he's probably, honestly, he saved up his money. He's made some good money.
I remember Robert Smith did that with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, I'm done. He's like,
Barry Sanders did it.
Some guy,
Jared Allen has said he may do it if he don't get a contract that he likes.
I'm not mad at the young guys. Hey, the running backs take beatings.
Yeah.
So if they're like, they've been in the league 6-7 years and you're like, you know what?
And Rashard Mendenhall came in when they were still handing out those big-ass contracts to rookies. So he got paid. Mm-hmm. So it would not shock me if he just saved up his money and was just like, I'm financially set.
Yeah, you can say that.
I don't need, you know.
You can kind of say that, well, maybe the way he was playing and banged up and, you know, Rashard Mendenhall's kind of fallen off since he left Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't get a deal. But, I mean, the guy wants to keep his health.
Yeah, and you can't knock a guy for that.
No, you can't at all.
You can't at all.
I mean, Ben Tate.
He's going to have to stay healthy. But that does kind of solve their issue of having to spend a high draft pick on a running back.
Yeah, Ben Tate has talent.
Mm-hmm.
He's just never been healthy. Yeah.
And then we got D'Angelo Hall and Richard Sherman talking smack.
Oh, man. That was good. When I saw the LeGarrette Blount, and he was like.
I didn't see that.
LeGarrette Blount basically was happy to leave, signing with the Broncos and feeling like he's the best corner. It felt like he shut down Jimmy Graham and all them dudes and telling Richard Sherman basically like, what? And I've seen this dude like, mm-hmm. Richard Sherman basically was like, well, you just saying that because that's your boy. He's like, dude, I've seen this dude go up against the best and shut them down. And, you know, even D'Angelo Hall threw his 2 cents in. Mm-hmm.
It was like, dude, you got Cham Chancellor and freaking Earl Thomas in the backfield with you. Which is true.
I mean, it's
which is true. It's yes. A team game.
It is hard when we see when you got a stud, when the stud, somebody's a stud doing it on a team when it's just you.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Darrell Revis, it was like, all right, even though they had Cromartie, it was like, Darrell, nobody's throwing at you. And he said that he was like, dudes throw on you. He was like, when it's a good person, they don't throw at you on you. They don't throw in your direction ever. So he was like, the fact that the teams were still throwing on you, that should say something.
Yeah. And I mean, with Aqib Talib, he was that dude where it was like, if he ain't playing, the Patriots are getting chewed up, pretty much.
Yeah, it is. They're in the top three, so.
Yeah, they're both very good receivers. Very good corners.
The standout.
Yeah.
Because we are all like, Megatron is the best.
Yeah.
Is number one.
Well,
like, I want to be that one.
And
who else would you put in there?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. He'd be the only person.
He'd be the only one. AJ Green is close. He's coming
AJ
up.
AJ Green is in that mix. He's with coming him up. And Julio Jones, too.
And even, I hate to toot. But even Demaryius Thomas is coming up, too.
They're all in that mix.
They're all up in there.
Andre Johnson can still be in it.
He's declining.
Yeah. His injuries are taking their toll on him. But, ooh, man. End of the draft coming up. Oof.
And I was doing some research.
Mm-hmm.
And just reading about, you know, because hearing all this fucking Johnny Manziel shit, it really got me thinking. And I'm like, what is the deal with these? I don't know. It just threw me for a loop how Russell Wilson, coming out of college, was getting kind of crapped on and, you know, looked past a little bit due to his height and his size.
Mm-hmm.
He was 5'11", 207 or whatever coming out. I just kind of went back and looked at some mock drafts. They had this fool, like one I saw had Russell Wilson going to like the 5th round. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me this Johnny Manziel can run around and do all this crap in college, hasn't really shown that he is really this pocket passer.
Yep.
But he's a top 5 pick.
Well, you see.
But you got Russell Wilson. Oh, excuse me. Let me also add in off-field issues. But then you got Russell Wilson, who is a smallish guy, but at the same, they're basically the same height, same size, build.
Yep.
Russell Wilson has shown he got a cannon. He can throw from the pocket. His leadership qualities are off the charts. His intangibles are second to none. And he's a 5th round pick. So I'm just like, I understand Russell Wilson, you know, probably broke the barrier a little bit. But I'm like, if that's the case, what about Drew Brees? Drew Brees did it first.
Yes, it's Johnny Manziel because he was the Heisman and all that hype.
So what?
That's how it go, man.
Heismans come in all the time in the league and don't produce. So I'm like, who cares? He's exciting. So what? All I'm saying is if you're gonna, and that's why I agree with Ron Jaworski, because I'm like, if y'all are gonna do all this crap to Russell Wilson, I'm sorry, Johnny Manziel need to get the same. I'm not taking a guy that big in the first in the top five.
Yeah, he's starting to slide down.
Small.
The other quarterback, what's the other quarterback that's been mad popular in the draft?
Blake Bortles?
Yeah.
Yes, because why? The man I've been talking about from the beginning should be the freaking pick, Teddy Bridge.
Yeah.
If you want to win, you're taking Teddy. That's all it is, period. If you're trying to win games, you're taking Teddy Bridgewater. If you're trying to sell tickets, you're taking Johnny Football. There it is.
And this start, they may not take a quarterback. Houston may not. But you know what? I'm waiting to see, man. The draft is a few weeks away. You know, free agency is just whetting their appetite.
And now the Broncos have just set themselves up. We kick back and take the best available player.
That's what you do.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, before we get out of here, it has been awesome. This is when I tune in to college basketball.
This is when it gets great.
No, we've already seen some good upsets. UCLA upset Arizona for the Pac-12 title.
Good job, Bruins.
No.
Creighton lost.
Yeah.
And my boy Doug McDermott. I just love his freaking name, dude. Doug. I hope the Bulls get him, too. I really do. He is one cat that I would love the Bulls to. I would love the Bulls to get him.
This is when you see the players come out. I know we've seen it.
He's a senior. That's why I would want him.
We were talking about Wiggins, who's now bumped himself up to that game.
All of a sudden now is just the best cat in the world.
Now I'll say that if he plays well in the tournament, yeah, he's locked in there. But
I'm still not sold. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm just not. And like I said on the last episode we had, you got to dominate against these college kids. I know he's had two great games. Fine.
He's finally started.
But I'm like, I got to see more, man. I got to see more.
We'll see what happens.
I got to. Because if he disappears in the tournament, should he come back?
No, he's leaving.
Of course he is. Yeah, and then
be about your
and then people
paper,
again are going to be like, "Oh, the NC2A is so weak. The talent level's weak." That's why.
I'm about my money. About Thank my, you. About my Skrilla scratch paper.
and then you got Florida playing Kentucky tomorrow.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's going to be a good game. Ooh, that's going to be a good game. And then let's see what else we got.
I mean, you already had
New Mexico beat San Diego State.
Iowa State, shout out to Daryl, straight out of Low Cash.
Hey, Michigan State beat Wisconsin. Holla. Hey, yeah, Iowa State getting them.
What you think of Wichita State being undefeated, and we know people going to complain about them getting a number one seed?
It's like I said on the last episode. You have to take into account that they're not getting the top five recruits in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that they basically have to have seniors and juniors and guys that have continuity. Because why? Because they players ain't going to the league anyway. So I'm like, they're playing more so with team basketball and no flash. Mm-hmm. Where you got these guys like Kentucky, who's okay, but barely ranked.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Kansas, who, I mean, they've had an up and down season. So has Duke. So I'm like, all these guys who are getting these top-notch recruits, I mean, where's North Carolina? You know what I'm saying? Yep. All these teams like that. So I'm like, granted, they don't have the hardest schedule, but put into account that they're not getting the best talent.
Yeah, for them.
You got to take A with B.
You're going to have to, like, they went under damn defeated.
Thank you.
So they deserve it. Now.
No matter who you are, that's hard. For their sake,
they got to make the Sweet 16.
It hasn't been done since UNLV. Yeah.
Now, if they lose
with Larry freaking Johnson,
don't lose in the first round, please. That's all I'm got to say. If you lose that first game, then
people are going and people got the right to bitch and moan.
Right.
Fine. But if they make it to at least to the Sweet 16, to the Elite Eight, me personally, that I honestly hope they do, just because that's going to open a little bit more eyes to some of these smaller mid-major conferences. Well, like, you got to give them a little bit more respect.
All the talent is there. I mean,
is talent.
Kentucky could be number one for like the last 3 years.
Steph Curry went to Davidson.
You know, some of these guys just go.
You know what I'm saying?
Kentucky could be number one for like the last 3 years. If they had at least had some of their guys who were like
the number one prospects coming out of high school and crap. Right, if they stayed a couple years, they probably be like, the bomb.
Every time you get a good class, they all jump. I'm like, it's one thing if like the best player leaves. But like, okay, now
your whole starting five leaving.
Our top six scorers all leaving at once.
So I gotta replace my whole team again.
Yeah.
Thanks. So that's what I mean. This is why you don't have guys who are consistently great.
But this is, just the time you get to show off.
Yep. I'm so guys better prove it. We'll see how Selection Sunday goes with them number one seeds and all that and the seeding. And, woo, this is the time. Get your popcorn.
Get your brackets, man.
Yeah, we're going to put brackets ready
together. We'll have we'll have it for y'all next week to see who's going to win that free dinner. Hey, shout out to North Carolina Central. First time in the tournament. From the MEAC.
What?
Yeah. North Carolina Central.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. Represent them HBCU.
God, I was so mad handling the law. I'm like, why y'all lose early? You were the number two seed. You lost early. Like, lost to Coppin State. Like, word. Coppin State. Come on, y'all. I guess it's next year.
That's all good, dude. I mean, hey. Morgan State,
man.
Norfolk State, hey.
That's all good.
Savannah State.
Hey, I just want to say for y'all, if y'all want to come out someplace and watch the game, Thursday, for all my Angelinos out here, SIP, a new after-work experience. You know, come on out. It's at Harold and Bell's. Got tacos and tequila. Watch the Thursday games. Hang out with some good people.
Yeah.
Some attractive folk. Nice-looking women. Brothers come in sharp and clean. Just good times had by all. Good conversations, good people. And get this tournament going.
Let's get it cracking.
Who going to step up? Who wants to be the number one pick this year?
Doug McDermott.
Let's see. Kansas, I don't know, man. You ain't got my man hurt.
Ooh.
Emby just hurt.
That's why everybody, he didn't even number one pick. No, I'm not taking him with the number one pick.
Now that he hurt.
Not with them back injuries he got.
Yeah, once I saw it, I was like,
once you got the B word and you got back injuries, I can't touch you anymore.
Nope.
Because you got chronic back problems now.
You just fell.
Yep.
Your
stock dropped.
Yeah, he probably out the top five. Maybe five.
For me, yes. But it wouldn't shock me if somebody still took
the
top five.
I'm
going to
go and take
the
wings because niggas like wings. The NBA like Wangs or a point guard. We don't want bigs.
Nope.
Yes, thank you all for tuning in once again to the Brothers Lamer Sports Happy Hour. You can find our podcast on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. You can also find us on the website, www.blackisonline.com. You can leave us comments on all those autumn areas, Love 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us that thumbs up on Stitcher. You know, subscribe on iTunes. Just check out all the programming that we have from the Black Is Network. We got the Black Is Break, hosted by Casey Lehman.
Going on, sister.
Coach Connection with Brother Malcolm.
Brother Map.
The Jam with Merc 80.
Jam.
He just had, this last one had Zoe down with the Foreign Exchange Crew.
Yeah.
That was a great interview, man. That was cool talking to him. The Brown Girl Hour with KCNT.
Yep, yep, yep.
You know, they got a new one coming out this week. You know, people love that show as well. And check my joint out. Just dropped the first episode. Turn my headphones up.
Turn them bitches up.
You know, just playing music I like. Trying to put y'all on the good stuff and just play y'all some good music because it's out there.
Yes, it is.
A lot of great programming coming out of the Black Is Network. You can find them on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Black Is Online and on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. And if y'all want to reach out to Chris and Jonathan, please do via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter at brotherslayman, and via voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely want to thank y'all for listening to us, for the continued listeners. Thank you very much. Go ahead and tell all your peoples. For the new first-time listeners, thank you for tuning on in to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving you that raw, real deal, holy field. So go ahead and let everybody know who keeps it real with the real sports talk out here and the L.A. streets. So from your gracious hosts, Chris and Jonathan, we have been your hosts for the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
We having so much Fetty Homes, we can't quit now. I break the back off a cake, mix some soda with this A1D. I zip lock and flip flop. 43, I'm living like a kingpin because I had clients. The bitches love to fuck with us, hillside dimes. And I was hitting me one, no matter the cost. I'm 4-4-2 with the dual exhaust. With so much rubber in the back of my log. I hit the parking lot and watch convertibles fall. Them zippers were sold. Them bitches used to haul my dick. And back then, I answer calls to a G. I stacked 22 and had 21 left. 7 to the kill, nigga, thanks to my chef. They was loving me to death, cause I had cream. The biggest double ups of dope fiend never seen. And on my team, you gon' get your green. Cause a nigga had to have it by all means.
About your paper, baby, screw the scratch day. Be about your paper, baby, scratch day. Be about your paper, baby, screw the scratch day. Be about your paper, baby, scratch day.
Top of a mattress full of dried up peace thing. Chop it up, my candy cane. Use your razor blade, nigga, use a safety pin. See, I probably wouldn't quit if they raided my shit. As soon as I get out, I'm ripped back in. Now I got my own car and we're thick as shit. Oh, you ain't know? A car's a click. Employees on the boulevard are rough and tough and got my test clean from puffin' stuff. And proper pick up on some chops, never been bottled. Stealing the box with the styrofoam, guaranteed not to cut. Blade how? V-Town, Valley Joe, no respect for the motherfucking popo. A yabba do, the boys in blue be getting shookin'. Sometimes I'm suited up, sometimes I'm bummy looking. Slick and sly, whooping them at their own game. Publicity stunts changing my picture number.
Be about your paper, man. And it's real a scratch game. Be about your paper, man.
Trying to get his paper first, man. I'm gonna try to just.